Please turn with me now to 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to be looking in this chapter of the Bible today and next Sunday, Lord willing, as we continue encouraging the family. And please stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read verses 7 and 8 this morning. Verses 7 and 8 of 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for your precious word and how we can know you and have a personal relationship with you, Almighty God, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We give you praise this morning and thanksgiving for all your blessings and for your love and for the cross. And Lord, may your love shine in us and through us to this community, Lord, and through this world. Help us to be witnesses, Lord, as families and as a church family. And may it be for the praise of your glory. And it's in the name that's above every name that we pray in, our Redeemer, our Savior, and our Lord. And that's Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Encouraging the family. Someone's been leaving me some humorous sayings. I found two more this morning. Thank you, whoever's doing that. But I want to share one I found. And it was laying on the front pew. And if another preacher shared this with you and you already heard it, laugh anyway because it's funny. But there was a preacher who had all of his teeth pulled and had new dentures. And the first Sunday back from having all of his teeth pulled and having new dentures, he preached for only 10 minutes. The next Sunday, he preached for 20 minutes. Then the third Sunday back, he preached for an hour and 25 minutes. When some of his congregation asked him, why did he preach for an hour and 25 minutes and just for a few moments the first two Sundays, he said, well, the first Sunday that I preached 10 minutes, my gums was killing me. The second Sunday, my new dentures was hurting me a lot. The third Sunday, I accidentally got my wife's dentures and put them in. I couldn't shut up. Now, we're talking about love in the family, okay? He just couldn't be quiet then. Love, and, you know, we're in the holy days. As a Christian nation and as having Christian fathers of our country, our founding fathers, majority were Christian men, evangelicals who confessed the name of Jesus as Lord. And our history as a nation has been Christian. And our what some would call holidays, they're actually holy days to us. And Thanksgiving and Christmas are holy days, and they're times that we spend with our families and with our church family. And during holy days, if we're not careful, we can start looking at holy days and holy things of God as common things in our lives. And yet we need to keep them as holy and things of God. And in our holy days, when we spend much time, hopefully with our families, if we're not careful, we'll lose sight of why we're gathering together and how love is the very mortar that keeps a family together, and it's because of love of one another as a family while we meet together and in fellowship together and eat meals together. But if we become self-centered or everything is about me in the family, and everyone look at me and everything is about me in the family, then those holy days can be days, instead of being a joyous time in families and in a church family, and joyous times of coming together, they can be unjoyous. And it'll be a burden to meet together as a family. And everyone say, that's not love. It's not love. And we're, next Sunday, we're going to look more into what love is and how the love of God should be in us as born-again believers and how it should affect our families and church family. This morning, we're looking at who God is. Who is God? To know what love is, we need to know what and who God is. Now you may say, well, Pastor, you know, you're talking about all this love and you're a man and you must be henpecked to talk about love so much and how in a family you must be henpecked to speak of love as a man. I tell you what, if you got a hen like me, you don't mind being hen pecked. Look to your hen and say, what kind of hen are you? I don't mind being hen pecked. I have a good hen. Okay? I love my hen. I love my wife. Listen to me, men. Someone's talking. But listen to me, men. We are to love our wives as Christ loves the church. Okay? And Christ loved the church so much that He gave His life for the church. And that's love. And that's what we're going to be looking at today and, Lord willing, next Sunday. About love and love in a family. But who is God? For us to know what love is, the Bible tells us that we need to know who God is. Again in verse 7 it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So to know what love is and how to love, we need to know who God is. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5 in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5 says this commandment, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. You see, this is the two main commandments. Jesus spoke of these commandments. And He said these are the two most important commandments because all the other commandments and how we are to live our lives stem from these two commandments. That is, knowing who God is first, and then the two commandments is loving God and loving one another. You see, when God is in His proper perspective in our lives, then it's a lot easier to know about His love and how we are to treat and love one another. But when you take the place of God in selfishness and self-centeredness and life is all about me instead of loving God and living for God and serving God by how you serve others, then you do not know what love is all about. And in a family, when God is not where He should be, but we have what we call today casual Christianity. Casual Christianity is when you have nothing else to do, then you may worship God or live for God or even come to the house of worship with brothers and sisters and worship God as a church family. That's called casual Christianity. When I don't have nothing else to do, then casually I'll have God, you know, in this place in my life instead of where God should be. And in families, when God is not in His proper perspective, then self is there. And when self is there and pleasures of self is first in life, then a family cannot love each other as a family should. A Christian family cannot have the love of God in it as it should when self takes the place of God. So we need to know who God is. God is not you. God does not have your attributes of selfishness. God is love. And God is Father. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. God is one. He is a triune God. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So who is God? God is Father. He is our Heavenly Father. Jesus, teaching on how to pray, says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, or how sacred, how holy is your name. Our Father in heaven. He is our Heavenly Father. God is Father. You see, as a man and growing up as a son and having the privilege of having an earthly father, I can tell you lots of things about my daddy because I know my daddy. And I'm still learning about my daddy. But I can tell you a lot of things about my daddy. First of all, in his life, he loves Jesus. My daddy loves Jesus. And if your children or grandchildren cannot say that about you, man, then you need to live in a way that you can show your children and grandchildren that in my life, Jesus is first, not self. Not my pleasures or what I want to do, but Jesus is first. My daddy loves my mama. Secondly, he loves his family. And he loves to deer hunt. That man loves to deer hunt. I can tell you a lot about my daddy. And as a child of God, being born into the family of God, do you know your Heavenly Father? Do you talk to Him as your Heavenly Father? You see, God, the Father, God is Father, and God reigns over all. He is the Father of us all. He is Almighty God. He is the Creator of all that there is. He is God. There is none beside Him. There's none above Him. He is God. He is our Heavenly Father, and hallowed be His name. Holy He is to us. He is supreme. He is God. He is Father that reigns over all, and God is truth. He is truth. God cannot lie. And this God who reigns supreme and is over all, He has a fatherly attitude toward you and I. A fatherly love towards you and I. Jesus describes our Heavenly Father in Luke chapter 15 when a son tells his father, "Give me what's mine and I'm leaving home," and he leaves and he winds up in a hog pen, and yet he decides, "I have the servants in my father's house has it better than I have it here in a hog pen." And he goes back home, and yet this loving father sees his son coming back, and he runs to his son in fatherly love and grabs him and loves on his son. That's the attitude God has for you and I as our Heavenly Father. God is Father. He is a loving Father to you and I. God is Son. God is Son. the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord means Master. Jesus means Savior. Christ means Messiah, the Anointed One of God. God is Son. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Please turn there with me in your Bibles. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, speaking of God. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed unto us the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom, speaking of Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah! It's not what we do or what we can do to receive forgiveness of sins, except receive the sacrifice of Jesus. He forgives us of our sins by His blood. It's called grace. Verse 15, speaking of Christ, He is the image of the invisible God. When you see God, or when you picture God, it's Jesus Christ. He is the image of God. That's why we don't worship an image for God. We must look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He completes our faith because He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Verse 16, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. Everyone say, Jesus is God. He is deity. God is Son. God is Father. God is Son. Verse 17, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. He has all authority in the church. God is Son. God is Son. He is the eternal Son of God. He is God incarnate. Why do we celebrate the birth of our Lord during Christmas? Because we're celebrating God came and became a man and dwelt among us. God incarnate. God tabernacled in the flesh in Jesus Christ. God is Son. He is fully man and fully God. He is the perfect revelation of God. No one else has a better revelation of God except Jesus Christ. There may be some false prophet say, come here, I got another book to show you that tells you more about God. No, the perfect revelation of God is Jesus Christ, and it's only Jesus Christ. God is Son. He is the provision for our salvation. In other words, He is the high priest. He is the sacrifice. He is the atonement for sin. He is the redeemer. He paid it in full when He said it is finished on the cross. It is done. Done deal. Paid in full the sin debt, which is death. Christ paid in full the wages of sin. He is the living and present Lord. You see, He is the resurrection and the life. He conquered death, hell, and the grave for you and I, because we couldn't do it. It's by His grace that we fall on His grace to receive salvation. God is Son. God is Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, as we look at who is God, God is Holy Spirit. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, I encourage you to read the whole chapter. But verses 13 and 14 says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. God is Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of God. God the Holy Spirit. God is Spirit. He inspired the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures are God-breathed. The Spirit of God moved upon the prophets of the past and the apostles, and they wrote Holy Scripture that you and I have and that the Gideons spread out across the globe to the countries that they can, that they are allowed in. So He is the Spirit of God. He inspired the Scriptures. God is Holy Spirit, and He is truth. He convicts of sin. You see, when a wise man sees truth and reads truth and is confronted with truth, which is God is truth, His Spirit is truth, then he will repent of his sins and say, I'm a sinner. I need a sacrifice. And it's the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, that touches that heart and brings a man to repentance, because it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. And a wise man, a wise person, will realize, I cannot save myself. I must receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And he turns to a holy God when he is in his right place, and he falls on his grace by his mercy. God saves a person that will do that. When confronted with truth, when the Spirit of truth convicts that heart and woos that heart, he will let go of his pride and his selfishness and turn to a holy God in repentance. The Holy Spirit does that. You can't do it. You cannot decide to be saved. The Holy Spirit must convict your heart. And when the Holy Spirit convicts your heart by the Word of truth, His Scripture, you will turn to God. A little baby can't do it. A prideful person can't do it. But when a person says, I am undone, woe is me, I am a sinner undone. Nothing I can do to receive forgiveness of sins except fall on the grace of God. See, God can work with somebody like that. And it's the Holy Spirit that touches that heart and convicts of sin. And He calls us unto salvation. He woos us unto His own. He fills every believer. We are His temple. We are the temple of God. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And when God seals you, it ain't no little Ziploc bag that'll leak. When God seals you, you're sealed. Everyone say amen. See, if you can lose your salvation and work back for it, then you wasn't saved to start with. Because God does the saving. We fall on His grace. And we're sealed by His Spirit. He fills us. He cultivates Christian character. When we read Scripture and study Scripture, it's the Holy Spirit that cultivates and illuminates that Scripture to us. And He comforts us with His Word. He's the comforter. He's the helper. And He bestows spiritual gifts upon us to serve Him in the kingdom. See, He's the one that enlightens us. He is the one that empowers us. He is the one that inspires us to worship and to evangelism and to service. He inspires to worship. You see, a child of God should have more fun in here than out there. The Holy Spirit inspires to worship. If you have more fun standing out there or going out there and living out there than in here, better do a double check. He inspires us to work to service. And that brings us to love. Everyone say love. God loves you and I. He's an awesome God. He is Father, He is Son, He is Holy Spirit, and He loves you. He loves you. He's awesome. See, an attribute of God is love. Verse 8 in 1 John 4. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. But when yourself is in first place in your life and self is preeminent, who do you love more? Yourself, not God. And in a family, when self is first, instead of God being first in that family, that's not love. The whole family wind up serving one person or conflict or strife. But when God is first and the love of God is in a family, it brings unity. Everyone say unity. Because they're serving God instead of a selfish person. God is love. He who does not love does not know God. Romans chapter 5 verse 8, write it down. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, but the love of God was demonstrated towards you and I, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only, one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes, in other words, trust, give their life to, believes in Him, will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's love. God is love. He loves you and I. So the question this morning, for us to know what love is and for us to be able to love, we must know who God is. It is as clear as it can be in Scripture. And as we looked at this morning, the only way to know God is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way to know Him. So has the Holy Spirit touched your heart, wooed you, and say, you're a sinner? You have broken the law of God? You've broken just one. You're a lawbreaker. You've broken the law of God. You deserve death. Christ died in your stead. He was the sacrifice for you. Will you receive Him? Will you join Him in a relationship so that you can know God? Because He is the perfect revelation of God. It's Jesus. I promise you this. When God is in the right place, I'm not going to tell you life is easy. It's not. But when God is in the right place, I'm not going to tell you won't have conflicts or hardships in life. But when God is in His right place, you can love in it all. You can love. I promise you that. God promises that. Let us pray. Lord, it's so easy to have our natural tendencies, Lord, to be selfish and to be unloving, or to only love those who love us first. Lord, as Your people, help us to have You, Almighty God, in the right place in our hearts, our lives, so that we can truly love one another and to love you, God. God, I thank you that I have realized that I was a sinner with no hope, but you loved me so much to die on a cross for me. So Lord, after that realization, I grow to love you more and more every day. And when you still forgive me of my sins daily, oh, how I love you. And grateful and thankful, Lord, for your love. God, we praise you this morning. In your name, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.